So I'm so glad that you got on the phone with me today to share your recent journey of faith, its ups and its downs, and then you landed right back in California. So I want to hear more about it.
Yes, well, I want to thank you for being open to listen, because I've also learned that, not to share and put things out to everybody. So I appreciate, you being that open vessel and stuff. As you know, I was working at a church and I was administrator. And in administrator, that just entails a lot of hats to wear. And I was there for over 12 years. I took on a lot. It just became my everything. But then when I start feeling overwhelmed, I wanted everybody else to understand. And it wasn't, for them. I started feeling unappreciated, misunderstood, and taken advantage of. And but it was none of that. It was just me. It was time for me to move to, it was time to move on, because God also provided the perfect person, the person that I could train and that also loved the church and that younger. And I was able to kind of guide her to have borders and, keep your life and don't,
Boundaries. You wanted the teacher to have boundaries.
boundaries. And, see, one of the things too is that she has kids. I didn't have young kids. I had grandkids, but they had parents. So my whole life became, and then so all of a sudden I'm going, hey, nobody even sees this and that, It wasn't that. It
It was a signal for you to reset. And I'm so glad that you were able to be aware that, okay, I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to point outward. I'm going to look inward and see what's really going on.
Talk to me. And you said that. You said sometimes you have to remove yourself and look from a distance. That was the beginning of, we had a long conversation and you said that you have to picture yourself.
Zoom out. You had to zoom out. You were zooming in. And when we zoom in, we look at every little nuance, every little scenario, and we take everything personal. But when we zoom out, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I need to look at this from another perspective. I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes, that's what you told me. And the hard part was I loved over just like 200 people that I served at any time, because even when people left, they would call and, can you do this? Do you have that? And I just felt that I was doing, which I was, and I don't regret anything. I was doing God's work, but to my detriment. And again, it was just time. So God brought her and I was able to train her as much as I could and still was having a hard time letting go. And the day that I gave her my key and told her that I had to go, because I couldn't talk to other people, because everybody want to give you, well, all you got to do is this and try that and do this. And I couldn't talk to anybody, but I went to go do my last day there at the church, because I just kind of left a note, and because I knew that she could handle it. My feet swelled up really bad and I don't have swelling, and I knew that I couldn't go back in,
Well, you probably were having mixed emotions too of grief. If you've been there that long, it became your identity, your purpose. It gave you a reason to get up. It gave you a sense of meaning. And you're such a servant at heart that you realize you didn't have boundaries. So I'm sure there were a lot of mixed emotions. What did you do from there?
So and then also where I lived too was just getting really bad, living in Long Beach, and the drugs, and it was just dangerous. I didn't have parking. People had started picking with the windows and all that.
Oh, you didn't
So
feel safe.
yeah, I didn't feel safe anywhere. And so I first went to Georgia, and a friend of mine said, just come and and I went there, and that didn't work out. And then I went to Indiana. I lost a friend. That didn't work out. So then I ended up in Houston. Well, to back it up a little bit, the end of June, a friend of mine, I was sharing, you know, how I was feeling. And he said, why don't you just try to get your Social Security? It was the end of June. Yeah, just fill out the application online and let it go. And I said, okay. I did it, but I really didn't think about it until September. I'm in Houston and I had a friend. It seemed to have worked out. I got a last paycheck and some friends had sent money and I was able to pay 2 months rent at a friend's house. She had a room for rent and it seemed to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But you end up moving in with someone, you realize you have two different lifestyles or ways mm-hmm. of doing things. And I was so unhappy, mm-hmm. but I didn't tell anybody. I just prayed. I prayed and I laid there one morning and I was praying and I said, Lord, I don't know what I got myself into. I can't tell my kids because I didn't want to come live. They, you know, they're working on their life, kids in college. And so audibly, I heard, check your bank account.
This is while you were in Houston?
While I was in Houston one morning doing my ritual of laying there talking to God, you know, trying to hear, what am I supposed to do? You know, I didn't think about it. And I checked my account and there was $5,000. And so I hadn't yet cleared out my apartment in Long Beach and didn't really know how to do that. I was able, I had gave my 30-day notice, but I was able to pay the rent, get a ticket, get out of there. And then also when I was in Houston, my daughter-in-law had sent a application for the senior home. She said, just try it. I know it's a waiting list, but it's a brand new building. And just try it. Okay. But all over the application, they remind you, you know, there's a waiting list, you know, blah, blah, blah. I got back to California, explained to my friend I wasn't happy and, you know, left and went back to California and I'm cleaning, you know, getting the place out. But I was looking into shelters and because I had kind of forgot about, you know, that. And I always was like, I don't want to live in a senior building. I'm not ready for that. And so I got a call late about 6:30 and I didn't answer because it was an odd number. Checked the voicemail and it was a lady from the apartments. It was like on a Tuesday. Can you be here Friday with a deposit of $150? And I tried to call her back. She texted me and she said, just come Friday. Yes. And so
only $150. Come on.
$50 deposit. It ended up going up, but that's what I needed to hold the And because I was on Social Security is what made me qualify for it. You know, half the money that I was getting from the job, but qualify. And see, my prayer had been, Lord, because I was paying in Long Beach almost $1,800 for like a studio almost. It had a barn door, but it was nothing. It was a studio. And I said, Lord, if you just help me to pay my rent, just give my rent and I can start with the books and all the ideas and the crafts and I'll do other things, but I just tired of working to pay my rent. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what I have. And it's just a blessing. It's a brand new building. It's in a new development. I've never thought of in Orange County. It is so wonderful. It's a breath of fresh air. Literally. I don't see people. It's mountains. I feel set.
And you have a larger living space.
And then my stepped up one set, said, you can't go in with old stuff. You need new stuff.
You need new stuff for your new place. Oh, this is so great. I'm so grateful that you were able to share such an amazing testimony. And I know somebody that's listening is going to get encouraged because a lot of people are at the, you know, they're at the ground level. They're like, okay, God, the money's running out. My strength is running out. I don't want my faith to run out, but you did what you were supposed to do, was to seek God, and you prayed and you prayed, and you were clear about what you wanted. And I think that's an important part of our prayers and our affirmations and our declarations and our supplications, is that we are specific. And I am just celebrating with you, because I know there's a lot more to the story, but I thank you for taking the time to share your faith journey, because people need to be encouraged to know that favor can follow you.
Favor. And yeah. And I want to say, your book comes to mind, Shift Happened.
Oh, yes, yes. And yeah. It was happening. And are you getting my newsletter?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. Yes. All right.
Also been very encouraging and helpful to me. And I am not usually, I appreciate that. And I hope if I could help just one person to realize that when it looks like the worst, like that darkest before dawn is truly, that's true. It's darkest before dawn.
Yes, darkest before the dawn. And you stayed in the light, didn't you?
Yes.
And I want to thank you, because I know in the past, we've known each other a long time, but in the past you have been a donor to Women on the Grow. And so I'm glad that the seeds that you planted are coming up for you, because you're such a giver. You're such a servant. You're such a humanitarian. You're such an earth angel. And I am so glad that I got to hear your praise report, that money just manifested in your bank account, the place manifested, and it's like, it's my time. Thank you, God. My seeds are coming up.
It seemed like not a lot of money, but it was the timing. Yes, because half of it was gone like within 20 minutes, because
but at least you had it. And the other thing that I want people to hear too is that you had people along the way saying, do this, try this. And sometimes when we're really down, we just become deaf. We don't want to hear. We don't believe that the impossible can be possible. So I'm grateful that you had people that spoke into your life that kind of gave you a little spiritual GPS and say, okay, now do this, go here, call here, write this, fill out this. And a lot of times people resist that because they don't want anybody to know that they're in a tight place, a hard place. And they're not willing to open up and receive the blessings of God. I love that story. You probably heard it before, where the woman is in a city where there is just pouring down, raining, and it's flooding in the city, and everybody's told to evacuate. And she's like, I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay. And they're like, you're crazy. The flooding. And so somebody comes by in a car and says, get in the car. We're leaving. We're evacuating. And she says, no, I'm trusting God. And then days go by, and now the water is really rising, and a boat comes by, and they say, get in the boat, lady. Are you crazy? She says, I'm not crazy. I'm trusting God. I'm good. Yes. And sure enough, the water continues to fall. And now she's standing on the roof, and a helicopter comes and says, lady, we're going to throw you a rope. We're going to rescue you. And she doesn't do it. And then eventually she dies. And when she gets to heaven, she says, God, I just do not understand. I was praising your name. I was saying, I trust you. And God says, listen, I sent you a car. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. And a lot of times God is sending people and we just like, no, I'm trusting God. Well, God uses people. And I'm thankful that God used people in your life to, so you wouldn't drown in your situation.
Yes. And I'm so glad that God uses you. I don't know how long it's been, but there's so many people that you have helped and touched, just being a friend and not changing. You're always that bright light. And I appreciate so much. You have that jewel. It's just perfect.
Bless your heart.
What she was doing.
Well, thank you, my dear. You made my day with this phone call, and thank you for your permission to share your testimony. God bless you, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, honey, stay in the light.
I will.